Psalm 116 is another one of those psalms that was sung at the Passover feast, and our Lord would have sung this song as He celebrated the Passover with His disciples. Psalm 116, hear God's word. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplication. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I shall call upon Him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech You, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. For You have rescued me from my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I was afflicted. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. O Lord, surely I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To You I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, again, we're grateful for Your grace. We thank You for the privilege of worship. We thank You for Jesus Christ, who Himself overcame death, and by Him we are saved from the fear of death. And we thank You that in response we come to You to give You praise and worship, not only privately but publicly. And so, as we're gathered together today and we look into this psalm, we pray that You'd give us Your grace and help us in our understanding that we might better live for You. We pray in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is indeed the only Lord and Savior. Amen. I have a good friend, among others, in central Kansas, and this fellow had major surgery a couple of years ago, and he gave this testimony to me with regard to his surgery. He said, as I was coming out of the anesthetic in the operating room, There was a lot of scurrying around all of a sudden, and a lot of clamor, and I thought, what's going on? And I heard someone say, get the nitro, inject it quickly. And I thought to myself, well, some of you know that nitroglycerin is used sometimes to alleviate congestive heart failure. And so this fellow thought to himself, am I dying? And he said to me then, I thought, well, it's okay. It's okay. And as he reflected on that circumstance, he realized that God had placed in his heart a real peace with regard to passing from this life into a life to come, that the fear of death had been quelled. This fellow is also a churchman, and he's got quite a large family. And he would come to church in two vans. A 12-passenger van wasn't enough. So he would come to church in two vans. There was a time when he came to church in a bus. At any rate, he would come and he would give thanks to God. And I'm sure today that he goes to worship and gives thanks to God because he knows that because of Jesus Christ, the fear of death in his own heart was quelled. And he can give praise publicly to God that this is the case. And this is what our psalm leads us to this morning. Psalm 116. That Jesus Christ died to save the likes of you and me from the fear of death so that we could come and publicly worship the Lord. That's the point I want you to get today. That Jesus Christ, by his death, quells the fear of death and brings you into this setting to worship before the Lord. As we look at the psalm, we first of all notice that in Psalm 116, Christ will often bring individuals low. He will bring the likes of you and me low, humble you and me, and cut us down to size, as it were. Look at verse 6 in the psalm. The Lord preserves the simple. And the psalmist confesses, I was brought low, and he saved me. I was made to feel small, in other words, because of the circumstances of life. And I think we can all resonate with that thought and that idea that perhaps you have been in a circumstance, and I know I've been in circumstances where I felt small in comparison to all that's been going on in the world around. But sometimes we have to be reminded of this by God. And so he brings us into these circumstances providentially to remind us that we're not the biggest cog in the wheel or in the clock, as it were. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. As a seminary professor, say, well, that's good. But then I think, oh, yes. Where I teach, Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, happens to be the smallest seminary in the Association of Theological Schools. So that's a big deal, right? And I remember one of our professors, some of you would know him, Wayne Spear, who, when he was elected as a professor at the seminary, said, I didn't consider it a promotion. And I think that's a good posture to take. He was aware of the fact that he was a small piece of the larger work of God, and certainly that's the case. And I think that's the case with all of us. And sometimes these providences that God will bring upon us to remind you and me that we're not big deals in the world, these providences might involve affliction. Look at verses 10 and 11 in the psalm. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. The psalmist is saying, I was greatly afflicted. And he, along with David, and perhaps David wrote this psalm, he, along with David, would indicate, yes, I've been afflicted, but that affliction came to me by way of God. When David, you may remember, fled from Jerusalem because of his son Absalom, he was going up on the ascent of the Mount of Olives, and there were those who were throwing stones at him and spitting at him and cursing him. And his general said, let's cut them down. And David said, no, God has put them there. And David was mindful of the fact that this providence had come along because of the hand of God. And his affliction had come along because of the hand of God. And certainly that's the case with you and me, that your affliction, whatever it might be, your trial, your difficulty, whatever it might be, in the end has come along in the plans and the purposes of God, in God's providence, whether it be sickness, you see, and God has brought you through that. And as some of you, as I've had the privilege of preaching here, have gone through some quite difficult circumstances along this line. And surely God's hand was in it all. Is that not the case? And if employment difficulties arise, God's hand is there. And so the psalmist says, I believe when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, and fear rises in these circumstances. And especially when health matters come upon us, difficulties, dread disease, like my good friend in Kansas who was suffering from a particularly aggressive cancer. Fear comes upon us because we recognize our own mortality and we recognize that our days in this world are short and God is in control of all things. And so it is. And the result of this fear, this real fear, and I can say, I think, with confidence that often it is a fear of death. You escape narrowly in an automobile accident. And maybe you're injured, maybe you're not, but you think, do you not, with regard to your own mortality and how close passing from this life to the life to come really is. And that is the case for you and for me. And when that fear comes, when that recognition is there, what do? Turn to God. That's our posture. That's your posture. That's the normal human response in the end. Turning to God, the court of last appeal. Look again at our text. Verse 3. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. And surely this is a real circumstance. But then what does the psalmist say? Verse 4. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. And I say, this is the highest court of appeal to which we go in the circumstances of life. I remember very well as a new chaplain in the Army in Vietnam at a little fire base that came under attack. And the chaplain's duty was always to go to the aid station. And that's what I did. I went to the aid station. And there was chaos in that little aid station. And the battalion surgeon directed me to a man lying on the floor. And his foot had been blown off. And I went over. All I could see was that stump there and the blood and the bones protruding. And when I knelt down by the side of this GI, he looked at me square in the eye and he said, Chaplain, am I going to die? You see, that was the response. And in that circumstance, what do? You look to God. A believer or non-believer, that's the case. You look to God. And so the psalmist says in our text this morning. And the wonderful thing is that in these circumstances of life, God delivers. Christ rescues. Again, look at our text, verses 5 through 9. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. You see, here's the circumstance of life, the providence of God, the affliction, the trouble, and the crying out to God, and what happens? He's a faithful Lord, a faithful Savior, and He does rescue, and He does deliver. Look again at verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And then verse 8. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from fear, tears, my feet from stumbling. You might respond, but our good friend in the congregation died. Was there rescue from death there? And I say yes, yes, because it's not from death itself and the experience of death from which Christ is pleased to rescue. But in the end, Christ brings victory through death. That's one of the things that you have to remember and I have to remember. He takes you through the valley of the shadow of death, so that you fear no evil. And He brings you out on the other side of death victorious. That's the real victory. Look at verse 7 again. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death. And those who have passed from this life into the life to come can confess before God, My soul has returned to its rest. Is that not the case? And then look at verse 9. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And yes, in one sense, the land of the living is this land, this world, this earth, in which you are privileged to walk, and I am privileged to walk. But in the end, is it not the land of the living, the place of God in heaven itself, where your soul and my soul finds its final rest through Jesus Christ? And so, death is overcome by walking through it and being victorious through Jesus Christ on the other side. And yes, in this, Jesus Christ delivers from the fear of death. Look at verses 3, 8, and 15 in this regard now. Verse 3 again, the cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow, yes, at the door of death. Sorrow. But verse 8, there is rescue. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Jesus Christ does rescue from death. And furthermore, He rescues from the fear of death. There is perspective on death. Verse 15. Precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. And how is that the case? Because those who die, those who leave and shuffle off this mortal coil, as it were, enter into the precincts of the Most High, and it is a delight to God to welcome them into the land, the final land, the repose of the soul, the land of the living. And it is a precious thing for God to usher His saints into His vital presence. And so Jesus Christ, you see, God above, gives you perspective on this affliction and death itself. Keep your finger there, if you will, in Psalm 116 and go back to Hebrews chapter 2, where you see the writer to the Hebrews bring out this theme. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verses 14 and 15, a familiar text. Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And so Jesus Christ, through death, does what? Renders the devil powerless. And verse 15, that he might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. What is the final fear, the ultimate fear? It is the fear of death, is it not? And yet Jesus Christ, by his goodness and by his crucifixion and resurrection, overcomes death. And when you are united to him by faith, the fear of death is removed. How good that is. And you understand how the martyrs of old could stand. And Luther, for example, could stand with the death penalty hanging over his head and say, here I stand, I will not recant, I can do no other. He was more fearful of facing God by renouncing his profession than by facing God going through death itself, because he knew that through Jesus Christ, death is overcome. And he had that perspective. Please go back to Psalm 116 then. And so as you begin to see this pattern emerge, this pattern of affliction and calling out to God and rescue, then there is worship. You come before God. You're constrained in your own heart to give thanks to God for his goodness. Verses 12 and following. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. In verse 14 there, where you see, I shall pay my vows to the Lord. The reference there is to a particular sacrifice in the Old Testament sacrificial system. It's a reference to the peace offerings. And there were three types of peace offerings. There was a thank offering. There was a free will offering. And there was a votive offering. And the votive offering was an offering that was performed when a person was paying a vow, completing the period of a vow. And this was done in the temple. It was a peace offering. And the peace offering was placed upon the altar in the temple, the brazen altar. And so this reference in verse 14, I shall pay my vow before the Lord, is a reference to David or the worshiper going up to the temple and offering sacrifice to the Lord. And the psalmist says, I shall pay my vow to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of his people. This is public worship now. God had delivered. And so the desire of the psalmist is to go up to the temple to worship publicly, to give praise to God. Look at verses 16 and following. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You see, there it is again, this peace offering, which was a thank offering in this case. Thanking God for the good things that he had done. I will and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vow to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. And so the psalmist, recognizing God's deliverance and this perspective on death given to him, is anxious to go up publicly to give praise to God. This was the pattern before the temple was built, when the people were brought out of Egypt. And they had great affliction in Egypt, did they not? And in Egypt, they called out to God. And when they passed over the Red Sea, what did they do? They publicly worshiped the Lord. And then, of course, as we've seen in the psalm, this was the case when the people went into the land. And I would submit to you, friends, that it's the case for you and me also, that when the good God of heaven, through Jesus Christ, brings you through the place of affliction, and part of the means is the prayer that you offer before God and the supplication and the pleading you offer before God, what do you want to do? You want to testify, do you not, to God's goodness. And you want to say to the people of God that He is good. And you want to worship publicly, not just privately, but publicly before God. And I would submit to you, friends, that this is part of the reason you're here today, worshiping before the Lord. And when you come in a circumstance like this to worship before the Lord, what do? You remember, do you not, the good things that God has done for you. Look again at verses 13 and 14 in the psalm. I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. And ultimately, who is your cup of salvation? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who brought you this salvation. And it's to Him that you owe honor and worship and praise. And at the same time, in this context in Psalm 116, you should remember that Jesus Christ sang this psalm. He uttered these words as He performed that last Passover with His disciples. And He took the bread of the Passover. And as was part of the Passover ceremony, He declared it the bread of affliction, reminding the people of their affliction in Egypt. And then our Lord Jesus rehearsed in that Passover, as was the custom, the story of the people being brought out of Egypt, reading from Exodus. And after that rehearsal of the things that had transpired by God, He and the disciples sang together Psalms 113 and 114. And the Jewish folk who celebrate Passover do that today. But then our Lord took that bread, as was the custom in the Passover, to distribute it to the disciples. And before He distributed it to the disciples, He redesignated that bread. And He said, "This bread is My body, which is given for you." And symbolically, He was saying to His disciples of old, and He says to you and to me, "I am the one who takes upon Myself your afflictions, your trials." And then He proceeds to the end of the Passover supper, where there were blessings and benedictions, a saying of grace after the meal, We don't usually do that, do we? But in this case, it's grace after the meal. And as our Lord in that last Passover was saying the grace over the last meal, He took the cup, which in the Passover was the third cup, and filling it, He blessed that cup. And He said, this cup, redesignating that cup, He said, this cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And He distributed it to the disciples. And so this cup of blessing became for those disciples a drinking of the cup of salvation, a participating in the salvation that God would bring to them through the Savior, Jesus Christ. And today we have the privilege of lifting up the cup of salvation. And then our Lord with the disciples went out. And they again sang. They sang Psalm 115. And they sang Psalm 116 through Psalm 118. Think about this now as you read in the Psalm from verse 6. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. These are the words that our Lord took upon His own lips and sang. And you can understand how personal that would have been for Him in these circumstances of that final Passover. Our Lord Jesus did know in that final Passover that God the Father did place Him providentially in affliction. Verse 3 again, the cords of death encompassed me and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. And after the Passover, He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and knelt down and prayed in earnest, Father, is it possible? Take this cup from me. And Jonathan Edwards says, interpreting this text, that our Savior looked into the blast furnace of the wrath of God and trembled in horror at the prospect of that which He was facing. And yet our Lord then said, not my will, but yours be done. Because our Lord knew what the psalmist says in verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. And our Lord knew that His death was precious in the sight of the Father, and that His death would bring about the salvation of you and me. And Jesus Christ knew in the end that He would not escape the cross, but that He would walk through the cross and be victorious on the other side. This was the real victory over death. And so He was able to sing, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That was his testimony as he sang this psalm. And I would say to you, friends, that ought to be also your testimony on this day, as you remember that Jesus Christ the Lord has gone before you. And because Jesus Christ died, he has saved you from the fear of death. And he brings you to worship him. And I would submit to you, friends, that is the reason you are here on this very day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you do, by your grace, give us encouragement through it. We pray, Father, that we might understand that by your death you save us from the fear of death, and that you bring us together as your body, your people, your church, to worship you, to give testimony to you. And we thank you that this is the case. Grant us your grace and blessing, we pray, in a proper and good understanding of this truth, we ask, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.